You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Friday, 28 November, we have got German import-export data due later this morning. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Gauteng, Johannesburg. On the show today, Skoglo, PSG, Old Oak, Sohosan, cut the dividend in half, stock up 7%, Celsi listing, and Nampak, another turnaround that is turning. We had Tiger Brands earlier in the week. Sean Walsh, CEO from Coal Group, second half much better than first half. And thoughts from me on 25 years of ETFs on the JSE. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb, even Woolies joins Black Friday mania, and it's all about the toilet paper. Business Day, Pan-African plans 2.8 billion rand. Soweto expansion, the group looks to process 600,000 tons of tailings a year in Soweto. Morning markets, the US was closed yesterday for Turkey, and they have a half day today. The East is red. Sydney and Tokyo, both a couple of points lower, 0.02%. Hong Kong's down 0.2%, and Tencent down 0.1%. Commodities all green. Gold futures, $4,221 an ounce. Brent, $63.44. Platinum, $1,648. Palladium, $1,478. The rand is 17.16. Bitcoin, 91,200. And top 40 opening call, 50 points, which is 0.05% lower.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Training now with Skoglo, PSG, Old Oak. Skulk, appreciate the early morning. Sohosan results out. When I had the first glance at them, I thought, oh, these look tough. Dividend halved. Debt's what, over 6 billion? But obviously it was the nuances, because the market liked it and the stock traded up over 7% yesterday. Your thoughts and what did you see that got the market excited?
Good morning, Simon, and good morning to all the listeners. Yes, what a day for Soho yesterday. And let's make no mistake. I mean, when you look at the share price, it's still very much distressed for 2025, and a year where I would say the JSE, you know, very close to a 40% year. So. Let's look at the numbers. Numbers looked like you said, you know, total income that was down, the operating costs flat, you know, the adjusted EBITDA that was down 3%, headline earnings were pretty much just 1%. So like you said, if anybody that looked at this set of results would have thought, maybe the reason why the share price has gone nowhere in 2025. But then you start looking at the smaller things. I mean, you start looking at how there was a lot of rumors a year or so ago where there was rumors that they might be interested in City Lodge. We know they've taken a bit of shielding there, and there was a few rumors there. That rumor is put to bed because they've now sold most of that. They've already mentioned that they're going to be employing that for debt reduction, share buybacks, et cetera, et cetera. So it does look, when you look at the outlook, it does look, Sohosan is looking a lot better. It was really interesting, Simon. I mean, you and I have had this conversation quite a few times this past 2 weeks, where we talk about the general theme for some of these tourist companies, more specifically the hotel companies, because we've seen Southern Sun 2 weeks ago, where they've mentioned they've had the best October since 2010. We just had a City Lodge 2-3 days ago, where they came out where they said, well, their occupancy has been up from the 60% levels now to 70%. So, and now Sohosan has shown the same thing, definitely showing some renewed interest in South African tourism and industry.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is about those bed nuts. And to your point, I mean, back to 2010 levels, that was an age and a half ago. Nampak, turnarounds are dime a dozen. They often don't turn. They often take a lot longer than you thought. Nampak was just an update, so there's a lot we don't have. There's obviously a lot of moving parts and some one-offs and the like. But this is, frankly, a turnaround that is turning. And I'm reminded, we were on a TV earlier in the week talking Tiger Brands. Mm. Another one that is a turnaround that is turning, which is, frankly, lovely to see.
Yeah, and you can add PPC to that. Awaken the Giants. I mean, so yeah, definitely. Nampak is one of those stories. Definitely a strong turnaround. And that they've mentioned, you know, since 2022, how they've reduced their debt. I mean, 720 million rands worth of debt's been repaid by September last year. So things are really moving. And this company has been under, like you said, under immense pressure. Besides the fact that, let's call it business-wise, things were not looking good, they've also had some, let's call it the CEO problems. They've had a CEO stepping down, then a new CEO coming in, and then the CEO that would have come in, he actually said, well, he's going to step down. And now it's now official that from February 2026, Rian Heil will become the new CEO. So that's been looking good. So in general, it does seem like this turnaround story is becoming a turnaround. And let's call it finally. This is also one of these companies that's actually got seriously now got good management. Yeah. You can see how they disinvested in the non-profit making businesses, and it seems like they're going to be focusing on doing this, you know, more of the same going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love to see Mia turn around that work. So, see, the book build was, how do we say it politely? It was a bit of a little bit weak, shall we say. It ended up getting 26.50, but it closed yesterday 27.50, which is not bad. Is this, I mean, telcos don't thrill me, but maybe they do you. Is So, see, exciting for you? I mean, notwithstanding, we love a new listing.
Well, okay, we're going to make a Chinese dish again, sweet and sour. So you know me, I don't really love my telcos. I mean, another telcos is, firstly, another listing on the JSE, that's really good. Mm-hmm. That's definitely the sweet. And when you look at the movement yesterday in a market that's been under pressure yesterday, for them to be positive, I think that's sort of another sweet. Yeah, they wanted to float 7.7 billion, ended up only getting 2.7 billion. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's the harsh reality. I mean, and then when you look at the free float currently, now 2.7 being floated, I mean, that is really very, very small float. I think it's something like less than 0.05% of the SWIX. So I think liquidity is going to be the main challenge. I mean, yesterday was the first day of the listing, as I mentioned, was positive. But I mean, when you look at the total value trade, I think more or less 20 million divided by the amount of trades, it's about 70,000 rand per trade. So clearly it was a more retail interest, and I foresee that being their biggest challenge, actually getting some institutional interest in this company to try and let's call it increase the liquidity in the company.
Quick last question. We've had Life Healthcare, we've had Netcare results, but my having asked you this question many times, you're a Remgro guy because you get the discount and you get Mediclinic. That's still standard.
Oh, yes, for sure. You know me. You know me. My two favorite words is free, and my second one is discount. And when a discount is as wide as Remgro's discount, then it's great. Add into the mix, and we've had this conversation with a few larger asset managers over the past 2-3 weeks. And a general theme was the SA Inc. theme is very much back into play for South Africa, not just for the latter part of 2025, but definitely for 2026. If you say SA Inc., I tell you, just go and buy Remgro, because you get – it's like the shampoo. There's the two-in-one. You go and buy one share, and you get so many other SA Inc. companies. So Remgro definitely is one of my favorite picks still for 2026.
Scott Globe, PSG Old Oak. Always appreciate the early morning poll today at LinkedIn and Twitter. Is around, Salcy. Did you buy it? Did you hold it? Do you have it? Have your vote. Have your say. LinkedIn and Twitter. Give you money, smoother returns for Stanlib Asset Management. The Stanlib Flexible Income Fund's agile investment process preserves and grows capital in all markets.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
I'm chatting with Sean Walsh, CEO of the Coal Group. We had results year ending September, revenue down 6.6%, HEPS up 10.6%, dividend up 16.7%. Sean, quickly I want to touch on the revenue. It's down, but that's mostly fuel sales because of a lower fuel price, I imagine, over the period.
Correct. Yes, Simon, we sell about 600 million litres per year. Wow. And the average price per litre was 2.40 down on the prior year. So that was a significant drop in revenue value. But as you can see, our GP actually grew by nearly 4%.
Are fuel volumes price sensitive? I mean, I drive regardless. I mean, is that the same in your experience?
What it does do, Simon, it affects holiday travelling when
high.
We've seen that in the past. Fortunately, though, in the last 18 months, prices have actually started coming off the highs. And we actually have seen a bit of recovery in traveling volumes. Mm-hmm. And what we also have seen, Simon, interestingly, is that with the increased sales of Chinese cars, especially up in Gauteng, mm-hmm. we are seeing an uptick in petrol sales for the first time in many years.
Okay. We chatted 6 months ago at the end of the first half, and you were commenting that you had good momentum going. You were expecting a strong second half. And short answer is really delivered. I mean, a good HEPS number, margin expansion, core retail doing well. It was a strong second half, as you had hoped on, as you had suggested you were going to have.
Yes, Simon, absolutely phenomenal second half. I actually haven't seen such a great second half in the company in many years. And, you know, that allowed us to reduce debt by 436 million, sizable number. And as you say, said the dividend per share is up 16.7%, very healthy company, ready to grow.
You mentioned debt there, lowest in 15 years. Is that going to start moving a little higher? You've got it to a very low level, but you are looking to ramp up footprint and expand.
Yes, so our CapEx for F26 is nearly double what it was this past year. But even so, that will drive growth on the top line. But we would mostly be able to use generated cash during the year to cover that CapEx.
The agri space, I mean, farmers have had a good year, and I want to delve into that in more detail. But your stores directly benefit, as I said. I mean, you've had really good business in your retail side going through.
Absolutely, Simon. So as soon as your fruit export farmer does well, our agri-marks do well because our footprint in the country tries to marry their activities in terms of location. And, you know, we can go through all the products. Citrus had a record year. Apples and pears have been very stable. Table grapes had a very good year. And so you can go through all the export fruit types have really had a great year. What that does is that farmers earn more and are able to spend more with us then.
And the fears around tariffs, and to be clear, tariffs are a moving target, and this is for the period ending September. There is no evidence on the ground, which is what you're experiencing, of impact. And undoubtedly there is in places, but broadly across the agri sector, your farmers have been doing very well.
Yes, as we forecasted at half year, the US tariffs have really not really impacted our farmers. There are some patches, but with the latest exemptions on top of everything, we really are actually looking forward to a good F26 as well. And, you know, even smaller sectors like academias, which probably would have been the most affected by the high tariffs, you know, they've now also been exempted. Yeah. So we're left with things like table grapes, mandarins, clementines. If those products are also in the end exempted, which is a high chance of it happening, well, then actually our agricultural sector is on the wind. It's really doing well.
Yeah, I saw an article from Wandidi Shalobo from AgriBiz SA, and he was saying that with all the exemptions, there's actually not much in the agri space really left. In terms of QSR and convenience retail, obviously revenue's up, you're doing great, margins are up. Are you seeing increased foot traffic? Are you seeing increased spending by individuals or bits of both?
There are a few sides to the story at the moment. Mm-hmm. So the quarter three and quarter four, we averaged about 6% volume up on the prior year compared to quarter one and two, which was flat. Mm-hmm. Now that versus a sector which is down 2% still at the same time. So there's definitely something happening in terms of long distance traveling. And that just indicates that people are normalizing, maybe the interest rates are helping a bit and traveling a bit more. And as soon as they travel more and as soon as the volumes go up, our convenience retail sales go up. And, you know, that is at magical margins. So we really are buzzing at the moment. And we're adding 5 new sites in the new year to the network on the peak side. So we are very excited about the new year.
And to the point, I mean, as you say, you get more traffic, they spend a little bit more, that helps margins. If this continues into the next year, you should get more margin expansion as you saw in financial year 25.
Absolutely, Simon. So we are probably only 30% down the track with an assortment optimization exercise, which we call merchandise for profit, where, you know, we work through every single detailed line item, make sure it is relevant, make sure it's priced properly. And, you know, as you speak to many retailers out there, they say it's a never-ending job, but every now and again, you've got to do a real good fix-up. And with that comes better margin.
Yeah, it is. I take your point. It is a continual one. Looking forward on the farming side, I mean, you say you're expecting another good 2025, 2026, particularly in the grain harvest, which will benefit you. And you've in fact been increasing a storage capacity, and that will become operational next year, as I understand.
Yes, as we speak, and they've nearly finished expanding the Klipjebul storage facilities. Mm-hmm. That will add about 25,000 tons storage capacity in that area. We have been a bit underrepresented in that area, so that will really fix that. And the harvest this year is 18% up on last year, so yeah, that will now feed into better storage incomes over the year in the grain sector. But generally speaking, fruit's looking great. The pre-season fruit set has been probably of the best. Mm-hmm. All that means is that the fruit's there. They can see the fruit. Now we need the weather to play with us and, you know, as little as possible hail and all those sort of things to happen, and then the harvest should occur.
Yeah, weather, that's always the unknown and the completely unmanageable. We manage what we can, weather we can't. We'll leave it there. Sean Welsh, CEO Car Group, appreciate the time.
Let your money benefit from experience with Stanlib Asset Management. Find out about Stanlib Global Select Fund, which follows an investment discipline that has delivered results for 3 decades.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Some thoughts from me. Yesterday was 25 years of ETFs on the JSE. It was Satrix 40 that listed way back 27 November in the year 2000. It did an IPO. It got $2.6 billion in the IPO. Mike Brown was running Satrix at the time. He now, of course, is at ETFSA. And we're kind of blasé about ETFs, right? We've got some 90-odd listed on the JSE. We've got about 30-odd active ones. Globally, there are, 12,000, I think. More ETFs than there are investable stocks. But they are a big deal. They absolutely are. And they're a big part of investing. Whether you're all about ETFs, and for many investors, ETFs are all you need. Some of you just put them in your tax-free account. Some will use them for, you know, strategic. You want tech exposure. You want resources exposure. Which stock? Well, maybe just buy that ETF. The point is, they're awesome, however we use them. Part of that is low cost. I remember one of my first unit trusts in the late 90s charging over 3%. That was before my advisor got a fee and also before any performance fees. It didn't perform, so I didn't pay performance fees. But, you know, 3% was standard. Satrix 40, 0.1%. And of course, they track the market. And many will say, you know what, tracking the market, you want to do better. Sure, we want to do better than a market. But here's 2 stats that matter. The S&P indexation versus active, SPIVA. They do this around the world and they look at different active managers versus the index. About 15% of active managers beat the index. And over the longer term, that number drops markedly, of course. And we have had interviews around that with Standard & Poor in the past. So it is actually giving you a better return than most of the active managers. But my really, really face stat, Satrix 40 listed in the 2000, right? 25 years ago. R7.74 was that listing price on day one. It closed yesterday at R103.58. You've added almost R27 of dividends over the period. If we give a compound annual growth rate to that return over the 25 years, 12%. Inflation, say 5% over the period, that's a 7% real return. That is wealth creation for something as simple as an ETF. That's it for today. We were chatting with Andy Ridge yesterday. He from the ShopRite Group. We were talking the 60-60 record-breaking early Black Friday deals. This weekend, I imagine, is going to be crazy. It's going to be full of shoppers. And of course, it's going to be full of pickers. It's going to be quite the experience at your local Checkers or ShopRite. We asked if you were planning some Black Friday shopping this year. Over half said only for some awesome deals. I've got to say, I'm not seeing much awesome deals. Third said not yet, but looking. Rest said yes, love me a deal. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30. 7:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobokhle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again Monday. Oil and gas opportunities for South Africa.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.